You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 47. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here. This week, let's talk about how to tell when you're in a bad, rocky, or unhealthy DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at KaylaLords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at KaylaLords, or stalk John Brownstone at SouthernSirsPlace.com. All links are in the show notes. So, no John Brownstone for another week. And I'm sad. Well, kind of sad. I kind of like doing this in the middle of the day and not 9 o'clock at night. So there's that. John Brownstone, if you're listening, I totally admitted that. but the reason I keep promising him and then he doesn't show up is because he's been on his crazy summer schedule for the past several weeks. And this is his last week of that. Thank God. So he'll be back soon. He's promised and I'm crossing fingers and we might have to pinky promise if it doesn't happen next week, because I'm ready to have him back. The shows are better and it's more fun, so for everybody. So yes, he's not a figment of my imagination. Well, he might be. I don't know. Anyway, I got a little off track there. So this week's topic is kind of a big one, and I don't think I can even remotely cover it all in one show. I think everything I'm even going to mention could have a show of its own, quite frankly, but I've been reading a lot of different emails from different kinksters, dominant and submissive, some that have come directly to me, some that I've answered, you know, the Ask Submissive Guide thing that I help out with over at submissiveguide.com, link in the show notes, of course. And a lot of it, it's different scenarios, it's different situations, but it all boils down to you're not in a great relationship. Now, not every great relationship is one that's doomed. I mean, people can reconcile, people can come together as long as both people are willing to figure out a way forward. I mean, that's always possible. But, you know, some of the things people actually type out and send to me or to somebody else, it's sort of like, wait a moment. Take a step back, look at this situation. Does this sound good to you? You know, and I get it. Sometimes we need an outside perspective and we think, well, it's not okay, but this is kink. So maybe things are different. Well, if you've been listening to the show for more than, you know, a minute or two, you have heard me say that kinky people are people. Okay. There's not, when it comes to good relationships, there's not a huge difference between kink and vanilla. Okay. It's about people communicating and respecting one another and, you know, sharing what we like and sharing what we don't like. And that doesn't matter about your flavor at all. I don't care how kinky or not kinky you are. Those are some basics of dealing with people in love or in sex or in any way. Okay. So some of this, I figure, you know, people just, they're not seeing it. They're the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. And people are like, oh, I'm in this relationship and it's kind of different and it's kind of weird. And so maybe this crazy stuff that doesn't feel right to me, maybe I'm just being, you know, uptight about it. No, most likely you're not. The truth of the matter is if you start thinking maybe this isn't right, guess what? It's not right. Because the way you know it's right, it's not a matter of, oh, is everybody else, you know, lost my train of thought, y'all. Gosh, I'm sorry. Is everybody else, you know, choking on cock? I don't like to choke on cock, but they say that's what I'm supposed to do. So, okay, no, that's not how it works. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It's about how you feel about what you're doing. So if you talk to any of us, not just me and John Brownstone, y'all, about how we feel about what we do with one another, good, solid, healthy, thriving relationships, we all kind of feel the same way. We feel fulfilled. We feel happy. We feel content. We feel at peace. We feel excited. I mean, all of those really positive, powerful emotions, we're all feeling them in different degrees and in different ways and at different times. But there's sort of this common thread of how we feel. If you are in your relationship and you don't feel those things and you're feeling unsure and you're feeling sick to your stomach and you're feeling like, you know, the whole world has gone crazy and you can't keep up and you don't know what's going on, those are not good positive feelings. And there are issues within your relationship that need to be addressed. Now, Could it be something as simple as you just need to communicate more, that you both think the other one is on a different page than you really are? You think you're on the same page and you're really not? Of course. And then sometimes it's just like really bad acts and red signs. And some of the things I'm going to talk about today that are what I consider signs of a bad or unhealthy or not thriving DS relationship will seem very familiar. They are the red flags of bad dominance and bad submissives. Yes, there is such a thing as a bad submissive. Don't anybody fool themselves out there. And what happens is we either are blind to those things while we're getting into the relationship because we're so desperate for the relationship that we'll accept anything, or we got played and they were great until they got us into the relationship, and then they went, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on us. And so now we're stuck. We're thinking, well, they were great 6 months ago and now they're doing these crazy things. What's real and what's okay and what's not? Bottom line, no matter what I'm about to list out, and y'all know me, I have some ideas. If it doesn't make you feel good on some level, there's the sexual level, there's the kink level, there's the boundary pushing level, there's the, oh, I know this person respects and cares for me and loves me in their own way level. If you're not feeling those things, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not in a good place in your relationship. Is it fixable? Possibly. Okay. I might be divorced and I might have broken up and been dumped by many people in my life, but that doesn't mean that I think that's the first place you go. You don't automatically go to, I don't want to be with you anymore. You know, if it can be fixed, if you want your relationship to be fixed, start there. You'll know if you let it go too far and there's no fixing it. I've been there myself. So, you know, you know where you are and what you think and what you need and what you feel and what's been going on. But I think if you start kind of checking the boxes on several of these things, you may find that, oh no, this is really bad and I need to get the hell out. Okay. And that's the other thing I do want to point out in DS, because a lot of what we do is physical and mental. Okay. As a submissive, I give my dominant power over not just my body and what he gets to do with my body, but the way he talks to me and the way he treats me and the way he makes me think about myself. And so when that gets really negative in a place that's not consensual and in a way that's not healthy, we do can get into abuse very, very quickly. And I would say if you are in an abusive situation, if you start thinking through these things and listening through this list and you think, oh my gosh, that sounds like somebody who's being abused, that's not something I would tell you to try and reconcile. I would tell you to safely get out. And that kind of stuff can creep up on you. So hopefully you find these things. Some of these things might be familiar to you in your current relationship or in past relationships. If it's happening in your current relationship, hopefully it's early enough that you can either stop it and get you both on the same page, or it's early enough that you go, oh, that's really bad, but I'm getting the hell out while I can. But if it's not, if it's been going on for a while and you just sort of realize, oh crap, this is awful and nobody should be going through these things, be safe in extricating yourself from the situation, please. So, I mean, you know, we talk about bad relationships and usually it's like, when I read an email from a submissive who says, oh, well, my dominant's doing this, 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 and this. And I try to be really circumspect in my advice. I'm like, well, have you talked to your dominant? And what did they say? And how are they acting? But in my head, I'm thinking, get out, get out, get out right now. So when the signs of a bad relationship start piling on and it's not just one thing, you may need to get out. I'm just saying. So let's get into the list, and only you can decide for yourself in your own relationship or in your past relationships. I know I've done that before. I've read those lists of, oh, you know, abusers are these things, they do these things. And I look back on a past relationship and I think, oh my gosh, I got really lucky. I got out of there when I did. So sometimes we can look back and see how we were in a bad situation or we made a bad choice in partner. So here we go. They are, as always, in no particular order, y'all. I don't number my list like that. It's just not my thing. But the first one will come as no surprise to anybody who's been following me for even a minute. It's an unwillingness to communicate. Now, I know the ability to communicate is a skill. The more we do it, the better we get at it. If you've gone through most of your adult life and never truly deeply communicated with another human being, it is really hard at first. And that has nothing to do with dominant or submissive. That's another people thing, okay? You don't have to be good at communicating to be willing to try. And if you find yourself in a relationship, I don't care which side of the slash you're on, you're the big D, you're the little S, and your partner refuses to communicate. And communicate isn't just talking, it's also listening. So if you have something going on in your head, or something bothered you, or you're seeing a pattern of behavior and it's, you know, you're questioning it, and your partner will not make the time. I don't care if you're long distance or you live together, they won't make the time to hear you out and listen to what you have to say. That's a problem, okay? On the other side, maybe they'll listen to you. Maybe they'll listen to you all day, but they will never tell you how they feel. Now, I know there are DS partnerships out there where it is, we come together for this activity, and then when that activity is over, we're done. You know, there might be some minimal aftercare, there might not. I'm not a fan of no aftercare, but I know that happens. But you come together for this specific scene, for this specific moment, and when that is over, whenever you determine that's over, you're done. You don't talk otherwise. I would say if that's something you are dabbling in, or you do with multiple partners, I think you still need to have a space to be able to talk to one another. Email, voice, text, whatever. Because there are going to be things that you do in a scene, or you have experiences in a moment, that you will not mentally fully process, sometimes for days or weeks, okay? And if it's something that was a negative experience, you need to be able to say to that partner, hey, remember when we did this thing? Well, it's messing with my head, and I would rather us not do that thing anymore. Or can you do that thing differently than you have in the past? I mean, you see what I'm saying? So even those very utilitarian DS sort of, I say relationships, when you're dealing with people, it's a relationship of a sort. Even those need a space to communicate. But if you're married, or if you're dating, or if you're engaged, or if you're in some sort of, you're trying to be in a love relationship, oh my gosh, you need to have time and space to communicate, to listen and to speak. Which means if you want your partner to be a good communicator with you, you have to be a good communicator back. So when they're talking to you, even if you don't like what they're saying, stop thinking for a minute. Stop thinking about what you're going to say back and listen to what they're saying, okay? So it goes both ways. They might be unwilling to communicate with you, and that's not a good thing at all. But if you make it difficult for them when they do try, I've been there, done that, okay? I was a yeller and a screamer in my marriage, which is very strange. I know I'm submissive and I don't do that now. And he would shut down. So the more he shut down, the louder I got. Guess who wasn't communicating? Neither of us, because neither of us was doing it well. I wasn't willing to listen, and he wasn't willing to speak, okay? You're not going to go anywhere. And in DS, it's even more important. We're talking about an exchange of power. We're talking about one of you letting the other one control you, control your behavior, control your actions, control, you know, who you talk to, how much money you spend, what you wear, all these little things about you that make you who you are, okay? You both have to be able to communicate within that, okay? So there's my rant on communication. Imagine me taking a bow. Okay, so here's one that keeps coming up in a lot of questions and emails I see from submissives. Changing the rules without saying anything. Okay, if you are a dominant and you think that you are allowed to change the rules on a whim, you need to think again. You are completely in the wrong here. The only time that's okay is if in your initial negotiation, whether you have a formal contract or just an agreement between two people, the agreement was, I can kind of do what I want and keep you on your toes. And I may, you know, one day you may be allowed to do this, and the next week maybe you can't. That's one thing. I would, in new DS relationships, especially if you're new to the idea of kink and BDSM and the whole thing, I would caution against that. The only way in my mind that works is if you have a really, really, really open path to communication, where communicating between the two of you is effortless, okay? Because you might make a rule on Monday and then change your mind on Saturday because that's your kink, but you might mess up your partner. Like, they might have gone, okay, I really needed that on Monday, and now they don't know how to handle it on when you change your mind, okay? But for the vast majority of DS relationships, the absolute vast majority, no, this is not okay. If you're going to change a rule, you have to let your partner know. You have to say, okay, that rule's not working, or your behavior's not doing, you know, not going the way I thought it would, or you're doing really well in this, we don't need this anymore, or whatever, okay? You have to communicate that. And it's not just that you have to say, hey, I'm going to change this rule. You then have to go, are you okay with that? And your partner has to go, okay, let me think about it, or yeah, we can try it, or you know, I'm not sure, or hey, this is why I really need this rule, or whatever, okay? But no, once you become your partner's dominant, you don't get to change the rules on a whim, okay? You have to talk to one another. When you change the rules, you make it impossible for that person to effectively submit to you. And a lot of submissives I know, myself included, we take great pride in following the rules, in doing what our dominants want us to do, in being the good girl or good boy or whatever, okay? So when you pull that rug out from under us and you change a rule and we can't keep up with how we're supposed to serve you best and be the good partner you want us to be, you've made it impossible for us to do what we need to do, and that's not fair. It's not fair. It's not okay. It's not consensual. Okay. The rules have to be consented upon. Okay. You don't just arbitrarily make rules and your submissive just arbitrarily follows them. Any rule you make as a dominant, your partner has to agree to. Okay. Now, sometimes you say, I've done this before, John Brownstone will say, I think I want to try this with you. I think we need to get away from this other thing. And I'll go, well, I'm not sure, but okay, can we just try it? And if it doesn't work, you know, we'll try something else. That's how you do it, okay? Or you say, yeah, I can do that. And then you try it and, you know, in complete good faith, you're like, yes, this rule change. I will not wear purple on Mondays, you know, whatever. Rules are weird in DS relationships. And then the following week, you realize that's impossible and you hate it or there's something about it. Well, again, this is where effective communication comes in. As a submissive, you get to come back and go, okay, we tried this rule and I'm struggling with it. I'm having problems with it. Sometimes you struggle because it disrupts your routine and you don't like that and it's change and you haven't adjusted to the change, and sometimes you struggle because it's a bad rule for you and your relationship. So no, we do not just change the rules without communicating with one another, ever. Okay. The next one, and I think this next one usually comes in the same email as, well, my dominant changed the rules but didn't tell me, is punishing without explaining. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about punishment. And I could do a whole show on punishment, and I do want to when John Brownstone is available, because he's the dom and he does the punishing, so he, you know, can say more about it. But punishment, first of all, the types of punishment have to be communicated and consented to, okay? I don't know, out of the like little list that John Brownstone has of what my punishments could be, I don't know which one he's going to pick if I get in trouble. I don't know before I get in trouble. Well, once I get in trouble, he's going to tell me, okay, here's our list of like five things, right? Your punishment will be this one. So for us, I actually used to say, quite frankly, frequently, that if you enjoy spanking, then spanking as a punishment is not a good idea. That was until I got my first spanking as a punishment, and oh my God, I'm a masochist. I enjoy pain, but I have a threshold. Everybody has a pain threshold. He knows my threshold very well. Thank you very much. And he like went way across that threshold. Like he kicked open the door, burned down the building, you know, demolished the ashes and then put a new building on top. Like that's how far out of the gate we went on my pain threshold. So yes, spanking as punishment is totally a possibility. You have to really know your partner's, like I said, pain threshold. But oh my God, yeah. So normally for me, it's corner time. And it's a varying degree of corner time. Sometimes it's just get in the corner. Sometimes, and he's been threatening me with this lately, and so then I behave like the good girl that I am. He says that what he'll do is he'll put a coin on the wall and I have to stay on my knees in the corner and keep the coin on the wall with my nose. That sounds like torture. First of all, I hate corner time. I hate anything that puts me off to the side and doesn't let me have freedom of movement and the ability to interact with him and the ability to do what I want. And then I can't look at anything, can't talk to anybody. And I have to sit there without knowing how long time is passing. Like, you don't get to have a watch. You don't, there's no clock right there. So I, you know, he says it's 10 minutes and I'm sure this is typical of people, but I know I'm a baby girl. 10 minutes when I can't do anything or go anywhere or move or talk or see anybody, that's like 100 hours, y'all. That's the longest thing ever. And that's the punishment, right? But I've knelt on rice before. I've knelt on sandpaper. I have not kneeled, but actually stood on my toes in the corner. Corner time sucks. But guess what? I knew all of those were possibilities long before they ever happened, okay? And if I do something bad enough, which is very rare, thank goodness, but if I do something bad enough that means I get punished, I know it's happening before the punishment happens. Not only do I know that I'm going to be punished because the moment I have done the thing, his face will, it's like the extreme version of the Dom face. It's not that smirk of, oh yeah, baby, I'm in charge and come over here and we'll do what I want to do. No, it's that thunderous, I can't believe you just did that. You were in so much trouble. Look, it's awful, awful. So first of all, I know if I've like royally screwed up and I'm about to get punished, but then it doesn't matter what look he gives me. He's going to tell me, he might have to calm down first, but he's going to say, you know that thing you did, right? Uh-huh. Okay, that was not okay. And you will be punished for that. Now, is the punishment always immediate? No, sometimes it has to wait. So, you know, life happens. But once he's determined that I've done something bad enough to be punished, then he's going to tell me what my punishment is. Now, again, if I've like really pissed him off, and I don't think if I've done it, it's been a couple years. I cannot think of a time when I made him so mad he couldn't. No, that's not true. I can think of one time I made him so mad that he did not talk to me, couldn't speak. And when he did speak, it was to say, I don't think we should talk for 24 hours. And we lasted about 12 and we were both miserable. It was a punishment that was not good for either of us. It was actually bad for our mental health. So we do not do that one. But even then, once he regained his ability to speak to me, I knew what my punishment was and I knew why. Okay. And if I hadn't known why, I have the freedom to go, okay, I'm going to need you to explain this to me. I don't know what I did wrong. So if you are a dominant who punishes your submissive, and I mean punishment with a P, not punishment, punish your submissive without explaining what they did wrong or what the punishment's going to be before it happens, that's not healthy DS. That can be really extreme kink play. And if you're in a role-playing kind of scene, okay. We're not talking about a scene though, y'all. We're talking about a relationship where your submissive is supposed to never wear panties and you caught them with panties and they did something wrong and so therefore you punished them, okay? And the reason the punishing without explaining and the changing the rules thing always seems to go hand in hand, at least in the emails I'm reading, is because a rule gets changed without the submissive being aware of it. They don't, they follow the old rule. So now they've broken a rule they didn't even know is a rule. And then with no discussion at all, a dominant decides that they are to be punished. And anybody who sort of has an understanding of what punishment is supposed to be, punishment. Punishment is something painful, something, oh, I don't like that. But you work really hard to get what you don't like. A spanking is the most common thing. Somebody will, quote, unquote, misbehave in a fun, playful way that their partner enjoys. And the end result is the spanking they wanted anyway. A couple years ago, I had my nose up in the air about punishment. I was like, if you just want a spanking, just ask for a spanking. Oh, no. I tease all the time to get the spanking now because it's fun. It's how we play. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about punishment. And so maybe, and the punishment is supposed to fit the crime, and the punishment is supposed to be something that the submissive does not like. That's why it's punishment. I mean, hello, if you've got kids, we do it all the time. My children do not like when I take the Xbox away from them. That is why it's an effective punishment, right? So let's say a punishment for a submissive is a spanking because maybe they're not a masochist. Or like me, you have that pain threshold, and so your punishment spanking is like really severe. So we've changed the rule without telling the submissive. So they broke a rule. Well, now, because you didn't tell them there was a rule change, and now they've broken a rule unbeknownst to them. That's not fair and non-consensual. Now you're going to punish them and not talk about why you're punishing them, not tell them what their punishment is, and just come here. You've been a bad girl, and beat the hell out of them or whatever. Stick them in a corner or take away something or humiliate them or whatever your type of punishment may be. there's all kinds of bad going on with this one, okay? You've got a lack of consent, first of all. You've got a lack of communication. It's not safe. What if you've decided arbitrarily that their punishment should be this, you know, really painful spanking, but they've got an injury and you've forgotten or you don't know or, you know, whatever, okay? So there's a lot of reasons why it's just bad, 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 bad. And it's sign of a bad relationship. And it breaks trust, y'all. If you're a dominant who engages in this behavior, you are killing the trust of your submissive. Yeah, oh, it's kind of fun to keep him on edge and to keep him guessing. That's kinky when it's within the bounds of what you both agree to. But when you sort of violate their trust like that, and it is a violation of trust, they believe the rules to be this way. They believe you will act in this way when they have screwed up. And you have just shattered that. You're killing your relationship. And depending on how it's all playing out, you're potentially abusing your partner, even if you don't consider yourself abusive. Now, some people would say, oh, anybody who does this, they're clearly a bad dominant. And it's a red flag and they're an abuser. Okay. Yes, on a lot of levels, but I can absolutely close my eyes and picture a dominant who just like picked up, you know, a porn DVD, saw one scene, you know, their partner read one awfully written scene out of 50 Shades or whatever, and they went, oh, this is what being a dom means. I'm in charge and I can do what I want, and they've never educated themselves, okay? A lot of the time, I think the problem we have in DS is not predators are real, predators are a problem, but I think it's a lack of education. It's a lack of understanding. It's this idea that you can just pick up a flogger and know how to use it. You can just go, you know, hit somebody with it. It's this idea that you can go, I'm your dom, you're my sub, you do what I say, and you think that's the end of it. Now, I would imagine, frankly, if you were listening to this show, you're trying to educate yourself, or you're already very well educated. You are not one of those people. But when you see it happening, in my mind, we have a responsibility to the total community to make sure those people have access to educate themselves, okay? So it's not always just, you know, a predator. It's not always an abuser. Sometimes it's a lack of education. And here we are educating each other. Okay, so the changing the rules, this kind of built on itself, and I didn't mean to. I'm looking at my little, like, list of things so I don't forget what I want to tell you, right? So we've changed the rules without talking about it. We've punished without explaining. And then the next sort of sign, and this one is, again, totally for the doms. And no, my dominant friends, my dominant listeners, I'm not picking on y'all. Y'all have a lot of the power and control, though, so sometimes the bad behavior comes from y'all. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so the next one it just keeps coming up, multiple people saying things like, well, I'm the dom, I'm the dominant, I'm in charge, I can do what I want. There's layers to this, y'all, okay? Within the agreement of my relationship with John Brownstone, where we are 24/7, he has a final say in nearly every aspect of my life. Some final says, quote unquote final says, our private conversations. Like, he can, if he wants to, override me as a parent, because I recognize that he's really good at it, but he won't do it in front of the boys, and he won't override me as a dominant. He will come at me as an equal partner. We will talk about it, and I may defer to him, okay? Because that's sort of my natural way with him, my natural inclination. In my work, I do what I want to do. But he does have a say over, okay, you've worked way too many hours. You're not on deadline. You need to put it away. If I want to spend money, you know, yes, it's a business expense, but he makes more money than I do. So therefore, he has final say. Now, I don't come to him for something like that without a lot of data to back me up and my research and my reasons. And, you know, I'm not going to ask for something I think he'd say no to. Let's put it that way. So yes, in those ways, he can do what he wants now, and he can say what he wants, and I will defer to him because I've agreed to that. I've mentioned before on the show of a master-slave couple that I met ages ago, and their relationship is set up in such a way, and she has fully agreed to it, that he can do what he wants because their agreement is by her remaining in the relationship with him, she has consented to whatever he may do to her. And sometimes that'll be painful, and sometimes it'll be fun, and sometimes, you know, whatever. It's whatever he wants to do. Again, because she consented to that. That was very clearly outlined in their negotiations. If you are with me, you consent to whatever I choose to do. Here's your way out. if you don't want to do that anymore. Here's your path for us to communicate about this if there's a problem. They set those parameters up, okay? It's very organized. It blew my mind when I heard about it, because I never thought of it in those very absolute terms before. And yet he was still very safe, very consensual, very sane about it. You know, there are avenues for her to communicate. There are avenues for her to get out if she is unhappy, okay? That is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody who has changed the rules on you, or who has decided that that dominant's going to go get themselves another partner on the side, and they think there's nothing you can do about it because you're just the submissive. And they believe that having that power exchange gives them total power. The power exchange is only for the amount of power that we allow as a submissive. And every one of us will have that to a completely different degree. And it will change not just over time with one partner. It will change from partner to partner. Okay. So I have enough trust and love and faith in John Brownstone that he could, if he wanted to, have almost complete control over me. And in a lot of ways, he has more control than he ever asked for, because I defer to him on so many things that we never actually negotiated. But the difference is I defer to him. We talk about it as equals. I tend to go with what he says, even on things that we never negotiated his power over. And then in everything else where we did negotiate, he absolutely has power, but he listens to me. Okay. He doesn't just do what he wants to do. He doesn't disregard my opinion. He doesn't throw things at me that would be negative out of the blue. There's always time and space to think it over, to talk about it, to listen to me, to hear what I have to say about something. There is never the, I'm the dumb, I can do whatever the hell I want. No, you can't. Now, quite frankly, when you find yourself in a relationship like this, there's probably no talking and reconciling your way out of this. If you've got somebody who is power hungry and thinks that because you gave them a little bit of control, they get to take all the control, that's a problem. And that's because that's a red flag. That's a huge red flag. Okay. If they act like it before the relationship, I would say, why are you in that relationship with them? But if they spring it on you in the middle of the relationship, I could see where you'd be really confused. Here's the thing that submissives tend to forget. And I don't know why you forget this, but so many of you have asked the same question. So I'm just going to tell you, and we're only like halfway through this list. At any point in this list, if something that your partner is doing is so unbearable and so awful and making you feel just bad, okay, and making you unhappy, and they're power hungry, and they're not talking about consent anymore, and they're not being safe with you, and they're not taking care of you, and they've completely violated your trust, guess what, submissives? You are allowed to leave that relationship, okay? I've never really understood why we feel as submissives that once we give some of our power over to our dominant, that we have given every bit of our power away. No, you get to decide every day if that's a relationship you want to be in, okay? Every day. Now, I'm looking at my list, and I had one, and then I was going to talk about another one, but I'm going to skip, and I'm going to come back and all that. It was inside baseball. Y'all wouldn't have known, but I can't help myself. So here's the thing with that, submissives. The doms are probably like, gee, this bitch has been picking on us for 30 minutes. I know. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. This happens. Doms and subs both do this, but I hear more complaints about submissives doing this. You do not get to emotionally manipulate your partner. Now, first of all, I'm not talking about mind fucks. Dominance, those of you who use mind fucks, you kill me, but you kill me in the best way. Like, I both love it and hate it when John Brownstone fucks with my head. He'll say something and I go, well, what did you mean by that? And then he'll smirk at me. I'm like, well, did you mean that? Because he knows my mind is constantly going. And if he says something in just the right way, I will have created an entire scenario in my head, completely different from the one he has in mind. But it doesn't matter. There's his power over me. He has power over what I'm thinking in that moment and what I think might happen. And he loves to do it on things that he knows makes me nervous, like not just a spanking, not just a flogging, but, oh, what about that huge paddle that you really don't like? Oh, my God, you're going to use it for real? And sometimes, and here's the thing, he'll fuck with my mind on something like that, right? So I'm sitting there getting all kind of tight and, oh, no, oh, no. And yet I'm kind of excited because it's kind of fun, right? And so the next thing I know, I'm bent over naked somewhere and he's got that big, huge paddle or whatever it may be that scares me. And he'll start making motions like he fakes with me, you know? So he'll make a huge motion like he's going to come down and like wallop me real bad. And here I am. I have bent over and I'm naked. I'm consenting to whatever he's about to do. And then he'll tap me lightly. There's no greater mind fuck, y'all, than acting like you're going to do something and then pretending you're going to do it and then doing something different because it messes you up. That's fun. We haven't had a good mind fuck in a while. John Brownstone, if you can hear the sound of my voice, I am... Oh God, I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm open and ready. Go for it. And the other lesson in DS as a submissive is be careful what you ask for. Anyway, that's not the emotional manipulation I'm talking about. I'm talking about the manipulation that comes from a partner who, the moment they're told something they don't like, they cry or they whine or they pout. Now, I say this as a baby girl who cries and whines and pouts all the time. Here's the deal. When I do it, I'm doing it as a way to express my displeasure. If I'm in baby girl mode, that's how it comes out. Okay. There is a difference. And sometimes you won't always be able to tell if you were the one receiving this. There's a difference between reacting kind of like baby girl or like a child to something you did not want to hear and crying in order to change the other person's mind. Crying or whining or lying or whatever. Doing things to make your partner feel bad so that they will change their mind. Not having an adult conversation and saying, okay, I don't really like this. This makes me uncomfortable. And I'm not even talking about the things that you object to. Like you're like, no, that's outside my boundaries. I do not consent to that. You have said, let's say you have said that you agree that you will always wake up at 6 a.m. and exercise. Okay. That's a legitimate rule/task that some submissives will have. They wake up at a specific time and they use that time to exercise or they use that time to work or they use that time to do something that is productive for them. Okay. So you've been doing it and you've agreed to do it. And you even admit it's not that bad for you. Instead of going to your dominant and saying, okay, I understand why we're doing this and I get it and I'm with you, but 6 a.m. I'm exhausted tonight. 6 a.m. You know, I want to have a cup of coffee first, or that class is now starting at 7, not 6:30. Can I sleep 30 minutes later? Okay. Whatever, however you want to adjust it, that's not what you did. Okay. You said you'd do it, maybe even started doing it. And then you stopped doing it. And every time you were approached with why you weren't doing what you're supposed to do, you cried or you lied or you whined or you did anything you could to purposefully make your partner feel bad so that you could get what you want. And that's the difference. Okay. When I cry and pout and whine, I'm 90% sure that I'm not getting my way. I'm just reacting badly. Okay. When I truly believe that this is not what I want, I dry the baby girl tears and I go, hey, daddy, can we talk about this? I really don't like this. I might still sound like a baby girl, but I use my big girl words, okay? I do not purposely put on an emotional display in order to get what I want, okay? And that is emotional manipulation, and it happens. It's not as common, at least when you talk online about how, you know, kinksters behave. It's not as common as the predatory dominant behavior, but it happens, okay? When you agree to do something, say you're going to do it, and then use emotional outbursts to get out of doing it, you have manipulated your partner. Guess what? If you don't want to do something, put your big girl panties on and talk about it, okay? And say, I really don't like that rule, or that's not working for me, but maybe this would work, or can we do something different, okay? That's the other thing I would tell you, submissives. Don't always, every single time, pawn off what the solution is on your dominant and make them find it. Okay. Sometimes you have a dominant. That's what they want. They want that much control that they don't even necessarily want your input, but we're all people. And so dominants have long days at work and bad days at work and family troubles and illnesses and whatever a human being can have, your dominant will have it too. So when you throw the responsibility back on your dominant to fix your problem, hey, I don't like this rule or I don't like this task, but I'm not going to offer any solutions to it, that's not fair to them either, okay? That's not helpful. That's not serving them, quite frankly. So instead of emotionally manipulating your partner to get what you want, talk about what you want. Come to them with solutions. Understand that you might not get exactly what you want, but maybe you can, this task will go away and be replaced with this one that's better for you, or whatever it is, okay? But yeah, emotionally manipulating your partner, that's not cool. That's a breach of trust as well, because now they no longer can trust your reactions and what they mean and what you mean when you speak to them and what your tears mean and how they're supposed to respond. Not cool. Okay, man, I went on a rant, y'all. That was a big long rant too. Okay, so let me get back to my list. If you're still with me, wow, I'm kind of proud of you. Okay, so here is one that kind of goes with emotional manipulation, because it can be used for emotional manipulation for sure. Sign that you're in a bad or unhealthy DS relationship when one of you is lying to the other, or hell, when both of you are lying to one another, okay? We talk all the time about how awful, you know, our past vanilla relationships were because we got lied to, or, you know, we didn't know how to be on, we didn't know how to communicate, so we lied. And here we are in this DS relationship where, you know, everybody says the right stuff. Everybody says, oh, I know I'm supposed to communicate all the time. And then you lie about how you feel about something, or you lie about what you were doing to get out of trouble. Hello, submissives. As somebody who takes my submission, very seriously, I laugh and I have a good time. And there's a lot of fun to be had in kink. Let us be clear here. But in a DS relationship where both people, or everybody, sometimes you've got multiple people in your relationship, can find satisfaction through this part of the BDSM lifestyle, I take it very seriously, okay? And I, just like I think dominants should get pissed off when there are really crappy dominants out there making them look bad, I get really pissed off when there are submissives out there making the rest of us look bad, okay? Because I don't want to be judged on the bad acts of somebody else. So, I'm gonna tell you like it is, y'all. If you are lying to get out of doing your tasks, to get out of punishment, to get out of the things you consented to because you were too afraid to speak up, or you're too lazy, or you're too this, or you're too that, that's a problem. Okay. And you are contributing to the downfall of your own relationship. Do not talk to me about how you want, you know, the type of DS relationship you see online, or you see that John Brownstone and I have, or you see from any of the other kinksters out there sharing our lives with you, and then lie to your partner to get out of stuff you don't like. Okay, that pisses me off. Ooh, I went into another rant. Sorry. And I'm dominance lie too, and that pisses me off. That's harmful and hurtful in a way that when somebody who has power over you is lying, your entire world is unbalanced at that point. You don't know what's real and what's not after a while, because the person you gave control of yourself to is lying to you, and this is the person you're supposed to be able to trust completely. And I get that. And I'm not excusing dominants who lie either. I think I was just sort of tired of picking on all the dominants, because submissives have a lot more ways they can lie that we don't talk about. Okay. Hell yeah. Has the temptation ever hit me to not admit when I have fucked up in my relationship with John Brownstone? Of course it has. I am human. But if I am going to hold him to the standard of always being truthful with me, always communicating with me, telling me like it is, and placing my complete and total faith in him, I have to be able to give as good as I get. I have to be able to own up to my own shit, because I expect him to own up to his. So yeah, if I fuck up and forget a task, oh God, daddy, I am so sorry. I forgot this. Here, I will do it now. Here, I will do it this time. Okay. I don't want to sit in the corner, but if you think I'm going to tell him and lie to him about my knee hurting, which is a legitimate thing that he would believe me on because my knee does hurt frequently, you've got another thing coming. I will take my punishment like a big girl, okay? Remember earlier, so put your big girl panties on. Boys, you can put your big boy panties on too. It's okay. Hell yeah, okay? Because I believe in my DS relationship. I believe in the concept of DS. I believe in what it can do for people. And I believe in John Brownstone. And he has given me his trust and faith. And while he still deserves it, which every day he proves he does, he deserves the same from me, okay? So yeah, you want to kill your relationship? You want it to be a shitty, shitty relationship? Start lying to one another, okay? End of story. Don't do it. And if you have been lying to one another, I would call it my puritanical heart about truth and justice would say own up to your lies, and then let the chips fall where they may. I can't make you do that. I can't I could tell you to do that, and I know that that would kill a lot of relationships. If you admit that you've been lying for 10 years, there's a good chance your partner's going to kick you to the curb. So there's a part of me that's like, yeah, you need to go do that. However, if you don't do that, please, 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 you want to fix your relationship, stop lying. Now, the reality is you might stop lying and realize that you've been lying because you're in a shitty relationship and you didn't want to be there to begin with. Okay, so now stop lying to yourself and get out of a bad relationship. So, yeah, and that's a lot to say about lying. Wow, I got like really, y'all, I just, whew, it's, I'm hot now. Okay, I do not work under lights. It's actually very dim in here and whew, I'm hot. Okay, so I'm going to try and get off of the topics that send me into a rant. Even though I know some of you, because you've told me you love it when I rant, and I don't know why, because I go way off topic and I get really heated and I talk really fast and whatever. So I got a couple more things on the list. One is not, it's not something I see in every single email, but I've seen it often enough over the past probably 6 to 9 months that clearly it's an issue out there. It's when you have doubts about opening up your relationship. Now, there's a difference between having a poly relationship and an open relationship. And sometimes the two kind of converge. And when you say you're opening up your relationship, what you mean is you want to enter into some sort of poly relationship. And sometimes it's not what you mean at all. Where I tend to hear about it and people reach out to me is when a dominant has decided that they want to open up their relationship and have sex with multiple partners. And the submissive, one of two things happens. One, sometimes the submissive is told by their dominant, I'm going to do this, but you're not allowed. Oh, no, that's not okay. And two, sometimes the dominant doesn't say anything about what the submissive can do, but the submissive is very unsure and very uncomfortable, and they're going along with it. So let's address that first one. Dominants, if you would like to open up your relationship to have multiple partners and your submissive agrees to that, good on you. No problem. John Brownston and I have played with some of that over the past couple years, and it's worked for us because we already had a good solid foundation and we were willing to talk and a lot of trust and all that good stuff. So it's not that you can't have that, okay? It's not really for every relationship out there. There, you know, we have a lot of sort of stereotypes and the way we've been taught and societal pressures and conditioning and culture to overcome for people to be comfortable with that. But that doesn't mean you can't have the conversation. It doesn't mean you can't say, I think I really want this. Here's why. And, you know, here's what I'm thinking and all that good stuff. Okay. You should always be able to say, hey, I think I want these things. I want an open relationship. I want to experience other sexual partners. It's okay to say those things. Okay. You don't get to say to your partner, but you don't get to have that. Okay. It's okay if they say, I support you. I trust you. I'm uneasy because this is new, but no, I don't want that for myself. Okay. That's fine. And the reason I say, you know, I understand somebody out there is going to put the doms in charge, the doms in control. The dom should be able to say what his or her submissive is allowed to do. Yes. The submissive has to consent and agree to that. Okay. That's the difference. Dominant can say whatever the hell they want to say. It's the submissive who has to consent. The submissive has to go, you know what? I agree with you. I don't want other partners. I support your endeavor to have, you know, great casual sex or whatever the thing is that the dominant partner is looking for. So there's that. Okay. You, if that's what you want and your submissive agrees, that's cool. If you don't want your submissive to have other partners, they have to consent to that. And submissives, I'm telling you, only consent to that if that's truly what you want. Okay. And only consent to opening up your relationship if you're truly comfortable with that. The last person who asked me specifically about it, I said to them, look, opening up your relationship, allowing multiple people in whatever way, in whatever, you know, format you go for with that, requires total, complete trust and total and 100% complete, open, honest communication, okay? If you don't have that, it is not the time. Now, if you want, I'm not talking about taking your relationship from serious to casual, okay, where you go, yeah, I'm going to see other people and I'll see you too. Again, that is something you should have a conversation about. But we're talking about, oh, you're my submissive, but I want to go fuck these people over here. You can have that as long as everybody agrees to it, y'all. You can have whatever you want. Make your kinky relationship whatever you want, but always get the agreement. And do not think that you get to tell somebody that they're not allowed to do it if that's what they want to do, okay? You can tell them they're not allowed to do something. They have to consent to that. And I'm not here to tell you that you should open up your relationship or that both partners should. You got to do what's right for you. Now let's go to the second part of that, where the dominant wants to have multiple sexual partners or just multiple submissives or whatever they want. And the submissive has kind of gone, well, yeah, I guess, but they're freaking out and they hate the idea of it, okay? I took one question, not that was sent directly to me, but one that I read and tried to help with. And they said, I feel like I'm finding my replacement. I feel like this person is going to come in and they're going to become my replacement. If that's what you go into opening up your relationship to other people feeling like, then we need to put the brakes on, okay? Now, it is okay to have doubts. It's absolutely okay to have doubts. The first couple times we sort of opened up a little bit in our own way, in my head it was spinning and I was a little nauseous and I was waiting. Not because I didn't trust my partner, but because I didn't know how all of this worked. And sometimes you have to kind of jump in with both feet to see what happens. But he and I had the agreement that the moment one of us became uncomfortable and realized this was not for us, that was it. We pulled back. We were done. It wasn't something that we needed. It was something we wanted to try, okay? When you have those kinds of doubts, everything should stop until you talk to your partner. Everything, okay? You stop. You're like, nope, we're not doing this yet. I'm not there. I'm not ready, okay? What happens is if you have to do that, if you have the conversation and you kind of go, yeah, sure, maybe, I don't know, and you move forward with it, and then you realize, I can't, I'm not, this is not me, I don't want this, you know, what we do when we hit one of my boundaries, I start screaming red. My kids don't know why I call out the word red sometimes in the car, but when we hit a boundary, I'm like, red, I'm not doing this, right? So, and sometimes it's because I'm supposed to go to the grocery store and I didn't want to, and yes, I'll call out red. Anyway, it's just, you know, don't take yourself too seriously, I guess is the moral there. Yes, you have every right to stop and have a conversation. And what happens at that point is your partner has to decide, is this something I need to be fulfilled and happy? And if yes, then okay, what do I do about this existing relationship? And you know what, y'all? Sometimes it means that relationships have to end. Sometimes it means that you're not with the right person for you because you want two diametrically opposed things and you can't find a middle ground where you can both be happy and comfortable, okay? So if you have enough faith and trust in your partner that you would trust them if they were to have casual sex or if they were to have another submissive or if they were to have, you know, encounters, you know, bisexual encounters, whatever it may be. If you don't have that level of comfort, then it should not happen within your existing relationship. If you are simply nervous because it's unknown, well, that might be a little different. Maybe you can negotiate your way through that to find something that works for you. But when you have completely competing views on something, sometimes, yeah, it means that you're not, maybe you shouldn't be together. Okay. And I say this as somebody who does not advocate that everybody just break up when you're unhappy. I'm a big believer in sticking it out and working hard and trying to find your way through and trying to reconcile yourself. But let's just be real. Sometimes some things can't be reconciled. Sometimes you can't find the compromise on it. And what happens is you have to decide how important is that thing that I say I want to do. Okay. it leads me to the last one on my list, and it's kind of the same thing, because opening up your relationship is potentially a massive kink for some people, but there's other kinks that we can't always be compatible with. I read another email a few weeks ago. Maybe it was the same person. That poor person had several things going on in her DS relationship, but they were concerned that because they are not a masochist and their partner is definitely sadistic, that their partner was unfulfilled and that the non-masochist should be dumped so that the sadist could go find their masochist. And the way that she wrote it to me was, I feel like that's my best way to serve him is to walk away and let him find somebody who fulfills him. And I came back with, I know you'd be shocked by this, a little bit of tough love. And I said, who are you to decide what fulfills your dominant partner, or any partner? You don't get to decide that. You get to decide if you want to stay in the relationship. You get to decide if you want to partake in those activities. You do not get to decide if your partner is fulfilled or not. Only they get to decide that for themselves. You do things to help them be fulfilled, but you don't get to decide. So sometimes you want incompatible things and you can't find middle ground on it. Okay, that's and you fight about it, or you ignore one another, or you start engaging in all these other bad behaviors I just outlined where you're not communicating or you're lying, and now you've got a problem. But it is possible to want two incompatible things and find your middle ground. In that particular person's case, I said, you need to talk to your dominant, first of all, because that's, it always comes down to talking to one another, always. But I also made a point to say, look, you don't have to be the masochist to their sadist if you fulfill other needs and wants and desires. There are ways to negotiate scenes in a club or at a party or with friends, you know, where you are able to have an outlet for those kinky needs that your partner can't fulfill. Okay, so that's an option. But if you are, kind of goes back to opening up the relationship, if you are completely opposed to allowing another person to have access to your partner like that and to have those intimate moments, you may be at a, you'll come to a crossroads where you've got two incompatible desires and no middle ground and no way to meet in the middle. And the reason I add that to the list is because when you get to that point where one of you is totally into bondage and the other one hates the feel of rope, one of you loves receiving pain and the other one hates giving it, like they just can't, it makes them sick to their stomach, they refuse, they close up, they freeze up, they walk away, they're not gonna do it, right? And that I have absolutely read blogs of kinky submissives who are like, I just want to be spanked really hard, and their partner, for whatever their reasons are, can't or won't. Okay, so what's supposed to happen when you get to that point is, one, you're supposed to talk about it, and two, you're supposed to find, okay, well, what do we like to do together? Okay, I love spankings, love them, and to a certain extent, I need them. If John Brownstone came to me tomorrow and said, I can never give you another spanking, okay, I would cry. There would be a lot of baby girl tears, y'all. There would be a lot of baby girl tears. I'm not going to break up with him. I'm not going to leave him because he can't spank me anymore. I'm going to go, okay, what's the workaround? What can you do? What are you willing to do? And what are you willing to allow me to do? Like, can I go to the club and negotiate with a dominant we both trust to get my spanking in? Now, between John Brownstone and myself, he would say, absolutely, here's our short list. I already know who I'm comfortable with. Who are you comfortable with, right? Because we know people. Yet another benefit of getting out into your local community, just FYI there. But if I made that suggestion and said, okay, here's our workaround, and he said, oh, hell no, absolutely not, I have to decide, can I live without spankings? Now, sometimes we lie to ourselves, because when don't we, right? We lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves, I can live without this. I'm okay with this. This is fine. And then what happens is other things start happening as a result. It's subconscious behavior. We're not consciously aware that we're doing it, but we start acting out. We start lying. We get short with one another. We don't want to talk anymore. We're upset. And sometimes you don't even know why. You just know you're upset. And if you ever go back to the root of it, it's where you got to that part in your relationship, that discord that was, that you lied to yourself and said, okay, for this person, because I love them so much, I can do without this thing. When you get to this last one, on the incompatibility with some of your kinks and fetishes and needs and wants, that's highly personal, okay? I'm a firm believer that you don't have to have every single kink align in order to have a satisfying, loving, wonderful relationship, okay? You don't. It is helpful if the majority of them align, okay? Or most of them, or at least half of them. Many of us do not feel unfulfilled if there are certain kinks we don't, you know, itches we don't get to scratch, right? Scratches we get to itch. You know what I mean. I'm really bad at that, y'all. My metaphors and my similes are just gone. I don't know. So it's how we behave once we realize there's an incompatibility that leads to a bad and unhealthy relationship. You can be incompatible on some levels. They're no longer together, unfortunately, but for many years, John Brownstone knew a couple. They realized they were both dominants. Well, they were both dominants together. Can you imagine how that was going to work? And they weren't willing to or didn't want to. It wasn't in their makeup. They weren't switches. So they wanted to stay together. They loved one another. So they found a way to make it work. They each had their own submissive. They had their relationship. However, that played out, none of my business. But when they needed to get that dominant kink on, they had their submissives, their slaves, their people. Okay. And they, for many, many years, they made that work. So I'm not saying that incompatibility means it's a bad relationship. I'm saying how you handle the incompatibility can determine whether your relationship is a good one or a bad one. Okay. So, wow, I've talked for an hour. You know what? When I wrote my little list and I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about today. I was like, oh, this would be like a 30-minute show. I lie to myself. See, we lie to ourselves all the time. Relationships are hard work, y'all. Okay. Kinky, vanilla, doesn't matter. They're all hard work and you get what you put into it. Okay. And I understand that in a lot of situations, you're pouring your heart and soul into it. And the other person's just sort of sitting back, you know, picking their nose, right? They're like, they're doing nothing. If I could leave you with these, like this parting thought, and it's something that I had to get to the hard way, I would rather be alone, completely and totally alone with just me and my vibrator than be in a bad relationship. Okay. I understand that need to have somebody with us, that need to feel like we're understood, that need to feel loved. Absolutely. Those are legitimate things to want and need. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. But being in a bad relationship where your consent is violated, where you're emotionally manipulated, where you're lying to one another, where you're not talking to one another, and where when they are gone, you feel relieved. And when they're there, you are miserable. Those relationships, all they're doing is delaying you from finding your own happiness. And sometimes that happiness is with another person, and sometimes that happiness is with your dog. But you know what? Everybody deserves happiness, whatever it looks like. In kink, so many of you, mostly submissives, but I know it happens to dominants, you are so ready and impatient to be in what you feel is a good DS relationship that you will overlook a lot of shit to get there. Or you get lied to. It happens. They pretend to be somebody they're not. Okay. They sell you on this, hey, let's have this great relationship together. You get in the relationship. They show their true colors and you refuse to believe it. Or you think, and I thought this in my vanilla marriage, that they will change. Guess what? They will not. Okay. When it gets bad, always communicate first. You will be able to tell fairly quickly if they are willing to work on it with you. Okay. You really will. They will either make the attempt, no matter how badly or awkwardly, to communicate, and they will make the attempt to change. When they do not make the attempt to change, that is not a reflection of you. That is about them. Those are the choices they are making. You cannot control, even in DS, you cannot control what anybody else says. You can only control yourself and how you choose to act in any given moment. Okay. Within DS, I choose every day to submit to John Brownstone because he has earned it, because he proves to me every day that he will take that submission seriously, that he will honor it, that he will not purposely seek to hurt me, upset me, lie to me, make me feel bad. Okay. I never have any doubts about that. Even when he fucks up, because everybody fucks up, right? And my feelings get hurt or I'm a little sad. The moment I say, hey, I didn't really like this. This bothered me. We're talking about it and it's fixed. And on the flip side, when I fuck up, again, because ain't nobody perfect, y'all, he will say, baby girl, you fucked up and here's what you did wrong and this is a problem, and we will handle it and then it will be over and we'll move on and we are stronger because of it. That is one of the big differences in a good, healthy relationship. You go through the problems, whether your fault, their fault, or life's fucking with you, right? And you become stronger because of it, okay? So go back to what my point was just a minute ago. It's better to be alone than in a shitty, shitty relationship that makes you both feel bad, or makes you feel bad, makes you question yourself, or makes you doubt yourself, makes you question your sanity. I have friends, kinky and vanilla, they're in these relationships and they'll come to me and go, oh my God, is this normal behavior? And I'm like, hell no, that's not normal behavior. That's abuse. That's manipulation. That's, you know, all kinds of things. So if you think about this list and you think about your relationship and you actively try, you are honest, you communicate, you listen, right? You try to compromise, you try to find the middle ground, and it's still not good, and it's still not something that makes you feel good more often than you feel bad, and I mean by a great deal, like vast majority of the time you feel good and not bad, you are in a wrong, bad relationship and you need to get out. Does that mean that the other person is a bad dominant or a bad submissive? Not necessarily. It just means you're not a good fit. And it is much better to be alone and figuring out your own shit and doing your own thing and making space in your life for the right person to, for you to come across the right person, whether they find you or you find them, than it is to stay in a shitty, shitty relationship where you doubt yourself every day. And that's dominant or submissive. And with that, I think I'll end this weekly rant. If you have stuck with me for just over this hour, wow, I appreciate you. I love you. I always do. I did all of that with a sore throat, which I knew recording the podcast today with a sore throat, it was not going to help my sore throat. It really did not help my sore throat, but it was totally worth it. If I sounded really like angry, I'm not angry. I'm frustrated because I get emails or I see emails, even if they're not directed directly to me, I see them of what I would like to believe are probably really smart people not realizing that just because we're kinky means we have to put up with really, really bad behavior from our partner, okay? And I don't want anybody to think that it's just dominance behaving badly. Oh, hell no. Submissives can screw it up too. So those are my thoughts for this week. Take them as you will. As always, I love hearing from you. So don't think that because I'm ranting about the things I think you should, you know, do or be aware of in your relationship that you can't reach out to me. You absolutely can. I am on FetLife, Kayla Lourdes. I'm everywhere as Kayla Lourdes except Tumblr. And I'm something else, but it doesn't really matter. I'm not on Tumblr as much anymore, so it's okay. So if you're on Twitter, if you're on FetLife, if you're wherever, I'm there, y'all. Kayla Lourdes, it's really easy. John Brownstone is really big on Tumblr. That's a really good place to reach out to him. FetLife, too. He's Southern Sir, both places. Yeah, both places. So if you want to reach out to him, that's cool, too. Like I said, hopefully next show we'll be talking about training because of based off our show several weeks ago about responsibilities. I do want to do a show on the differences between punishment and discipline. The terms tend to overlap, but in BDSM, they usually have two separate meanings. So I want to talk about that in the future as well. If there are any burning questions or topics that you really like us to address that you haven't heard, feel free, like I said, reach out and say, "Ooh, I've got a topic suggestion." I love that. That makes my job really, really easy, y'all. So, all that being said, I'm going to go and get some ice water for this sore throat. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week.